Today's message starts with a reading from Luke 19, 28 to 44, read to us by Avril, Joy and Jan, followed by the message, People Get Ready, brought to us by Karen. Let's now listen to Karen.
Bible readings taken from Luke chapter 19, and I'm starting at verse 28, and it's the NIV. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, say, The Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, Why are you untying the colt? They replied, The Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road.
When he came near to the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is a king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.
As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. May God grant us understanding of his word.
Are you ready? I think I remember on the first day here, someone said to me, Are we ready? And I was sharing that the kids on the kids' camp, every time we went somewhere, I did something, we said to the kids, Are you ready? And they had to say, Are we ever? So I got used to hearing it. But I want to talk to you today about preparing for Easter. Now, maybe you haven't really thought much about Easter. It's a whole week away. Maybe you haven't considered what's happening for Easter just yet, because we're pretty busy, aren't we? Anyone here busy? I think you guys are so busy. I can't believe how busy you are around here. It's a bit of a different feel about Easter this year, especially for me because I haven't been at school. But normally school finishes on the Thursday and then we have Good Friday straight away. So it's been a bit different because we're 1 week into school holidays and Easter is still a week away. So I keep getting confused about when Easter is. Is that right, Jan? Are you getting a bit confused about Easter? No, hang on. We've got another week. Now, we've had some family visiting us, and I know some people have had some grandchildren, still have some grandchildren and some people visiting. It's lovely to have family and join in. But have you ever compared this preparation for Easter with how we prepare for Christmas? Now, Tim, you got getting those kids all confused then about their Easter tree and their Easter presents and the Santa, Easter Santa. But we do spend a lot of time getting ready for Christmas, don't we? That lead-in time that comes up to Christmas. So in November, the decorations go out and the trees go up and you walk into town and you certainly know that Christmas is coming. Is there someone here, and I'll find out, I'm sure, who is the crazy Christmas person that gets ready really early, that wears the clothes early and starts singing the songs early? Ah! It's Debbie. Ah. So we'll see. We'll be looking out for that in about September, shall we? October. There's always one that gets ready really early. Now, what about Easter, though? What is it that you do in this time as it leads up to Easter? A lot of people go camping. Has anyone here been an Easter camper? Yeah, Easter campers. I know a lot of people who go away for Easter, it's their thing. Especially I think a lot of teachers, they get ready and they have to get away and go away camping for Easter. I am not a camper. Never have been. I won't say never will be, but it doesn't really appeal to me as something I'd like to do. I worked with a lady called Judy, and she coordinated a camp out for her family and her extended family and friends. And every year, for about the last 4 weeks of term, all we heard about was Judy's Easter trip. She'd have a map. She had everybody mapped into where they would be on the campsite, who would be bringing what food. It was a very heavy preparation. But maybe some of these things are something that you might relate to. Easter eggs, decorated eggs. Now these three are my three children. How cute are they? With their Easter chickens that their grandmother, Tim's mum, made them Easter chickens. That was one of her Easter preparations. She always knitted them something. Or maybe it was something like this. This is the egg of choice in the Clark house, Humpty Dumpty. Even last year at 20 and 17 and 14, they still went to Humpty Dumpty. Where's Jeremy? Humpty Dumpty this year, mate? No. No Humpty Dumpty for Jeremy. Maybe this one, the Easter chocolate bunny, the Cadbury bunny. My mum used to make the marshmallow bunnies. Anyone make those marshmallow bunnies with the moulds and the mum bunny and the little baby bunnies and draw their, whatever you call that, all their features on with food colouring and then you had to dye the coconut green? Yes, some people nodding. My sister-in-law always uses Easter to buy the kids their winter pyjamas. That's her Easter preparation. It's Easter, it's getting cold, it's time to buy winter pyjamas. Last year at North Brisbane, we had a lot of refugee families that were new to the church, and we had an Iranian family, and this is not a photo of them, this is just a standard image, but she bought on Easter Sunday a tray of eggs, dyed eggs. Have you ever played that game? Maybe you have some of these traditions in your family where they held the eggs and you had to crack someone else's egg. And the person whose egg didn't crack was the winner. So then you had to go around and crack someone else's egg. I loved it. I think it was for the kids, but I enjoyed it. I wasn't a very good crackerer, and I didn't win, and my egg was cracked, and I think I got dye on my hands. But it was lovely, and it was lovely for them because they wanted to share something that was a special part of their tradition and their preparation. And this one, I've never seen anything like it, but my friend in Dubai shared this on Facebook. It's her Easter tree. I'm not going to go out and make an Easter tree. And I don't expect that anyone would want to make an Easter tree, but it's special that people want to acknowledge this time. Now, none of these things are necessary. They're just a sign or a symbol of something. But as Christians, we really should be thinking that Easter is our most significant time of the year. We should recognise Easter is the day that's central. It's a central event in history. The day that Jesus rose and he made eternal life possible for you and for me. This central event is what our Christianity really hinges on. This verse in Corinthians says, "Let me ask you something." This is from the Message translation. "Let me ask you something profound yet troubling. If you became believers because you trusted the proclamation that Christ is alive, risen from the dead, how can you let people say that there is no such thing as a resurrection? If there's no resurrection, there's no living Christ. And face it, if there's no resurrection for Christ, everything we've told you is smoke and mirrors. Not only that, but we would be guilty of telling a string of barefaced lies about God. All these affidavits that we passed on to you, verifying that God raised up Christ, sheer fabrications, if there's no resurrection." So in other words, if there's no resurrection, and this message of Easter is not the heart of everything that you believe, then what is it that you're standing for? So in recognising this significant period of Easter, let's look at how we can do our preparation. For centuries, Christians have prepared for Easter by observing Lent a period that begins on Ash Wednesday, which this year was back in March, 6th of March. So it's been a long time. This holy period, or set of holy days, holidays, concludes with Easter. And traditionally, many people prepare for Easter by making this a period of repentance, denying themselves a particular thing or a pleasure, a convenience during Lent, or perhaps they take on a new task of service during this time. And here, we, as part of the Salvation Army, we've reflected on others during this period of self-denial. And the outcome of denying ourselves actually gets flipped around and becomes a time of generosity to others. So that we've seen people in overseas missions won't be denied some of their basic necessities. So today is Palm Sunday. Sometimes we call it the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Now, in each of the Gospels, you'll find recorded the arrival of Jesus riding into the city on a donkey. And we've heard about the crowds spreading their cloaks and waving their branches on the street, shouting out, "Hosanna! Hosanna to the King! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." So I'm going to look at three things today that we could pull out of this account that are going to help prepare our hearts ready for this Easter time. And I'm going to call it the Easter Preparation Plan. You ready for a plan? Number one, do what Jesus says. Now, one of the early ways that children learn to write, one of the first types of writing they do is an instructional genre, a how-to. Things like writing a recipe, how to make a puppet show, how-to things. The main feature in that kind of genre that they learn about is the doing words, the verbs, Francis. The verbs, the processes, the doing words. So in this first passage that we read, the important thing here is all the doing words. Let's have a look. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. He said to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter, you'll find a colt tied there which no one has ever ridden. Untie it, bring it here, and if anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Then tell him the Lord needs it." So here we go. Go, enter, find, untie, bring, and say. They're all things that Jesus told them to do. They're all the doing words. There's probably some others in there, but they're the ones I want to use. Now, Luke didn't tell us about which disciples were sent. It doesn't say who went. But if that had been me, I think I would have had a few questions. Do you really think we could just untie this donkey? Can we just take it? Or maybe, do you think the master actually knows who the owner is? Do you think he's pre-planned this? Has he lined it up? Do you think this is some kind of test for us? Do you really think they'll just let us walk away with that donkey? This one. What about someone, if they take a swing at us? What if someone goes us? Jesus didn't tell us what to do if that happens. You see, we can look at this part of the Bible and imagine that it's a bit like a play. Jesus, go into Jerusalem. Disciples, action, went. But they didn't know what was going to happen. What they did was they were obedient. Luke writes, at first his disciples didn't understand. It was only after Jesus was glorified that they realized these things had been written about him and that they had done these things. So they went, they found a colt outside in the street, they untied it, and as some people standing there asked them, "What are you doing?" they answered, as Jesus had told them to. And the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus, threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. So they didn't know how it was going to turn out. They weren't sure of the end point, but they simply did what Jesus told them to do. And look at the result. That procession, the waving, the glory that came. All in all, that is a really good model for us. You couldn't really make a much better choice than to follow the example of those two disciples. And even though they had no way of knowing what the future would hold and what their actions would bring, they simply obeyed. Now, perhaps your obedience wouldn't involve going to get a donkey. I don't know that anyone's going to get an instruction this week from God to go and untie a donkey. But there will be something else that God requires. So here's our words. Go, enter, find, untie, bring, say. Maybe God's asking you this week to help someone. Maybe he's calling you to forgive. Might be someone in a relationship. To give something up, to take something on, to say yes to something, to say no to something. Just to say something to someone. Jesus' mother Mary, at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, said to the disciples when they were at the servants at a wedding in Cana. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee, and Jesus' mother said to them, Jesus' mother was there and his disciples. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to them, said to Jesus, they've got no more wine. And said to the servants, do whatever he tells you to do. So I challenge you today, as our first point in our preparation plan, whatever Jesus says to do, do it. Do whatever he tells you. We might never know how a simple act of our obedience will bring glory to God. The second thing in our Easter preparation plan, after do what Jesus says, feel what Jesus feels. Let's look at this next part of the Palm Sunday story. As he approached Jerusalem and he saw the city ahead, he wept over it and he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle and hem you in on every side. They will crush you or dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. That's pretty heavy. Something happened on that ride into Jerusalem. This is not always a part that stands out in this account. It's easy to get caught up in the crowd and the shouts, all the branches waving and the coats on the road, that we miss what happens here. Actually, Matthew doesn't record this section, either does Mark or John. Luke's the only one that writes in this section here, this part of the event. Now, I haven't been to Jerusalem. Has anyone been to Jerusalem? Anyone been there? Visited Jerusalem? So you might know that there's a where you come in there up on the mountain of God's holiness stretched out before you, this moving sight of seeing it unfold. And then the hillside there today is a chapel, a tiny chapel with a tear-shaped dome on it. And it commemorates this moment when Jesus wept for Jerusalem. The word wept in the Greek is actually a word that's more like sobbing. It's used when Mary cried at the tomb of her brother Lazarus, when it says that Mary wept there. This is the same Greek word. And also it describes Peter's weeping after he's denied Jesus. So that word wept is not just a little crocodile tears rolling down. It's this bitter, gut-wrenching weeping. Jesus wept violently for these people of Jerusalem. And at this moment, in the middle of all the triumph, Jesus cries for his people. Do you see the contrast in that? Celebration and excitement and weeping. The crowd have shouted out, Hosanna, but over that noise, Jesus imagines, prophetically perhaps, these screams and cries of the people that foreshadows that event in AD 70, where the city was razed and the glorious temple was destroyed. So everyone else was having a party, welcoming this conquering hero, yet Jesus was filled with compassion for the lost sheep of Israel. And that too is a good model for us in this second part of our preparation plan. As you prepare yourself for our reflections in the garden, for Good Friday, for resurrection on Sunday, let yourself feel what Jesus feels. Let your heart be broken for those who are hurting, for those who are lost and wandering. Feel for those who are searching, and maybe for those who don't even realize that they are searching. I can't tell you who the people are that you need to feel for, but God knows that. And maybe you already know who it is too. Someone close to you, a family or a friend. Someone you see when you go out walking. Someone in the shops. Someone who hasn't yet experienced forgiveness or deliverance. They don't know that peace or the freedom that comes from knowing Jesus. Maybe today that might even be you. You might be someone who is sitting here saying, actually, well, it's nice to have this celebration. I actually don't understand who this Jesus is. So if you will take that second step of preparation, ready for Easter, to feel what Jesus feels, you might find yourself experiencing a flood of compassion in your heart. You might find that as we ask, break my heart for what breaks yours, you might find that you experience a new kind of heartbreak. But it's one that's motivated by love, and it has a required response of action to do something. So in this preparation plan, take some time to feel what Jesus feels. And finally, in our Easter preparation plan, a third thing you can do, tell who Jesus is. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred. Looking back at the start of our passage, we read this. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they'd seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. The streets erupted with the sounds of praise and singing and shouting. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the King. They were spreading his praise and shouting. But then we read this verse. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones themselves will cry out." So if you can just picture that scene, the noise, the colours, the visual display, all the cloaks, the branches, people everywhere. They were very excited, but they were also, I'm sure, curious. And people today are still very curious. They're waiting to see if there really is a God. They're waiting to see if we, the people here who fill the churches and sing his praises, they're waiting to see if we're different, if there's anything about us that stands out. Watching you and me as Jesus followers. If they see us doing what Jesus says, experience us feeling what it is that Jesus feels, then maybe they'll want to ask that question, what's this about? Who is this? We say in the church, we make that age-old confession. We say, he is risen. And we answer, he is risen indeed. We tell each other that here in church. I love that on Sunday mornings. But do we tell others that same message? As part of your preparation plan this week, will you tell others? Maybe you aren't sure what to say, so maybe you could take a flyer and just give it to someone for our Easter get-togethers. I'd encourage you to at least consider the one person who you think might really need to hear this message. So there's three things in our Easter preparation plan. Do what Jesus says. Feel what Jesus feels and tell who Jesus is. It's up to you to decide if the preparation is worth the effort. It's a plan that you can use to make the most out of Easter. So I want to encourage you this week to take some time to pray, to take the time to be still before God and to listen. What is it that Jesus is saying? What is he asking us to do? Take time to feel what Jesus feels by reading your Bible. Watch some videos. Watch some clips and find out more about Easter. Explore some of those feelings that come when we celebrate and we look at what happens at Easter. And make a decision to be bold, to tell others. Ask God to give you an opportunity and ask him to give you the words. This morning, I'm going to ask you to just look at the preparation plan and to bring that to God yourself, to ask God to seek his help, to commit to God your willingness to make the most of this preparation time. And as I said, if today you're thinking, I'm not really sure about this, Jesus, I'm not really sure, you might have been just swept along in the crowd, singing Hosanna and praising, but you're not really sure about who this man is that's entering Jerusalem here, then come today and ask Jesus to be your Saviour and to be your Lord. We're going to end our time shortly with a big, exciting celebration. We've got palm branches. That's really good. Yes, you get to get a palm branch if you'd like one, but we'll leave that. Before we do, I want you really to take some time to pray. The place of prayer is here. There's a place where you can come. You can pray. You can ask God what it is out of this plan that you really want for me. What is it that you want me to doing? How do you want me specifically to respond today? This place is always open. There's not a time when you couldn't come down here. But right now, if you feel that God is prompting you to pray about one of these things or to really consider it, then I suggest that you do that. Just come and take that time. I'm going to pray, and then I've just asked Judy to play that chorus, the song that we sang before, Here I Am to Worship, just to listen through. That's what we're here for. We're here to worship God. So as I pray, if you feel that God's prompted you and you'd like to come and pray, if you want someone to pray with you, or in your seat you want to consider what it is as part of this Easter preparation plan you need to think about, then I'd encourage you to do that. Let's pray together. Father God, you are an awesome, mighty God. We're privileged to be here, and we're privileged to know you. Lord, as this time comes up, this preparation time as we lead into Easter, I pray that you would prompt our hearts, that you would open our eyes to see new things. Lord, tell us what it is that you want us to do. Lord, help us to feel what it is that you feel. And Lord, I pray that you would help us bring to mind someone that we need to tell. Lord, we give you our preparation plan. We give you our time. We leave it in your hands. And as we do, Lord, I pray that you would just move, that your Holy Spirit would prompt us, and that we would respond obediently to your call. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. If you would like to know more, our services are on Sunday morning at Caloundra Salvation Army, 119 Sugarback Road, Little Mountain, at 10 o'clock. There are Easter services. Information is on our website. We look forward to seeing you. God bless.